WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An appeals court has put on hold a lower court ruling that kept the Trump administration from taking command of 200 Oregon National Guard troops. Trump is still barred from deploying them for now. Analyst Jessica Levinson on the state's options.
Short term, I think the recourse will be continuing to fight this in court and continuing to make their case that the Trump administration has transgressed their authority and, in fact, infringed on state sovereignty.
An AP poll finds Americans are growing increasingly concerned about their ability to find a good job during the Trump administration. Trump's envoy was in Israel today after the violence in Gaza over the weekend. Reporter Frank Gardner.
There has been a lot of behind-the-scenes U.S. pressure on the Israeli side to exercise restraint because there are forces here pushing for a complete resumption of a full-scale war in Gaza.
On Wall Street today, stocks were higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Thousands of Wisconsin residents took to the streets over the weekend for dozens of No Kings protests across the state. For more, here's Civic Media's Max Martinson.
Back in June, organizers of the No Kings movement held what they called the largest coordinated protest during President Donald Trump's second administration. On Saturday, the No Kings movement was back in full effect, with over 2,600 events occurring across the country in protest of what they call an authoritarian style of government. Civic media personnel were on the ground across the state, documenting protests in major cities as well as smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin. Protesters who attended Saturday's events came from all walks of life. Civic Media reporter Lisa Hale spoke with Deb Fenzel from Oshkosh, who joined the No Kings movement for her grandchildren.
Because I feel strongly about doing this for my grandchildren and their rights. I'm not so concerned about me anymore. It may take the rest of my life.
Many protesters from Saturday's events were also part of a younger demographic. Civic Media reporter Melissa Kay spoke with Natalie, a high school student from Wisconsin Rapids, who says that she's still proud of her country despite current leadership.
Don't be afraid to show up and be who you are and be proud of your country. I've had times where I'm not as proud of my country, but I have to remember that I'm not proud of the leadership. I am proud of the USA.
Protesters also included public servants such as Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, Civic Media reporter Sholly Pittman in Madison.
How are you spending your time? Because make no mistake, our time is being stolen with algorithmic precision.
Many of the protests from Saturday's events also included marches and demonstrations, such as in Milwaukee, where thousands took to the streets. For Civic Media News, I'm Max Martinson. Lisa Hale, Melissa Kay, Isabella Nieto, Parker Olson, and Sholly Pittman contributed reporting.
The Packers beat the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Arizona, where the Green Bay Packers held on to win last night 27-23 over the Cardinals. The road trip began with a five-hour flight delay when the team plane had mechanical problems on the ground in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur.
From the moment we got on the trip, nothing seemed to go right to in game. There was a lot of things that didn't go right, but the guys kept battling, and that's what it takes in this league.
Packers running back Josh Jacobs had 13 carries for 55 yards, scoring twice, including the winning touchdown, despite dealing with the flu and a calf injury.
They really didn't really want me to play today. It was one of them things where I kind of had to convince them. You also got to know who you're talking to. I'm one of them guys, man, if I feel like I can spin and I'm not going to hurt the team by trying to, you know, play, then I'm going to go out there and give it everything I got.
College football, the Badgers losing to Ohio State 34-0. A report says if Wisconsin decides to fire Luke Fickell, they would owe the coach $25 million in a contract buyout. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently at 62 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, we'll talk about the growth of wind and solar power generation across rural Wisconsin. And we'll hear from candidate for governor, Representative Francesca Hahn.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
It is finally Monday. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to be back on the air, and great to have you with me wherever you're joining me from here over the course of our beautiful state, this gorgeous fall night. It's kind of dark, kind of windy, definitely feels like fall, or as I like to call it, perfect radio weather. Hope you're having a great day, and if you're not, join us. We'll have some laughs. We'll sing some songs. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight on the show, and I'm not kidding. We are literally going to sing some songs, maybe not we, but we've got a couple of guys coming in here who really know how to sing and can wail and are going to blow the roof off the studio. I'm going to tell you all about our guests in just a minute. In the meantime, I'd like to introduce the lovely and talented Conrad Krieger. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
How's it going? God, I thought I was in a bad mood.
No,
what was that?
Yeah, I look outside and it's dark. Last week, we still had a little bit of sunlight before like 6:20-ish.
Yeah.
But now it's just, it's dark and it kind of makes me a little sad.
My ride homes are brutal in this kind of weather. I don't like it. Or this kind of, the darkness, I should say.
Yes.
No fun.
You know, I have a road story, actually. You know, it's usually you today.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I was just minding my own business, right? Okay. Driving down. It was 40 miles per hour, so I was going around 45, you know?
Sure. Within non-ticketable MPH.
Exactly. I'd say it's like 7 and below. It's not ticketable, you know?
Okay.
Anyways, this guy starts just... He's right on my butt, you know. What do you think? I had two options. What do you think I do? I go faster or I just start going slower on purpose?
If it were me, rather than risk my own life and go faster, I would slow down. But I don't know.
I slowed down.
I thought so. Okay.
Because there was a semi next to me.
So you knew he couldn't pass you?
Yeah. At the end of the road, he finally got around the semi, you know, and he was like next to me. I just looked straight. I didn't look.
What are you going to do? You're going to get in a staring contest? Then he knows you were being like that, and that could escalate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're in cars. It's you know.
You know, if you're just going too fast, I just want to slow you down to help the traffic, you know? I don't want anyone getting a crash because you're going too fast.
Exactly.
I'm doing good work.
That is, you're a good citizen. Like, I told you about that issue I had with my brother. I think I said that, I told that story on the air about how I passed a guy on the right. We ended up getting in a fight on the highway.
Yeah.
We pulled over, and everybody, Conrad, I'm not kidding, says, why didn't you just drive away? I'm like, he was driving as fast as I would rather do something and duke it out rather than get in a high-speed chase with a maniac. Like, they're driving weapons, and this guy obviously didn't care.
He could have followed you all the way back where you're going. He could. You never know.
Well, that's interesting, too. But I was on my way to Appleton to do stand-up, and I was at my parents' house the weekend before, so I was driving from Marinette to Appleton. But I thought, I thought you were going to say he could have followed you to your gig.
And heckled you the whole time.
Or come up and try to throw punches at me or something.
He's just sitting in the crowd. Yeah. You suck, Schwab.
Excuse me. I got to open up a can of whoop ass on this guy. But, well, that's good. I'm glad you you proved your point.
Yes.
And I saw this yesterday. My wife and I were looking for a place. First of all, we watched the season finale of Task. It's the first season. Mark Ruffalo, my pal Jamie McShane, who's a Nightlight semi-regular, I would say. And just a great Tom Pelfrey, really solid acting, a very good show. Definitely check it out. Loved the finale. I'm not going to say what happens to Jamie. You'll just have to see. But, you know, he played a great bad guy. It was really fun to watch that show. But my wife and I were looking for something to eat last night. We just wanted to order something. You know, we were sick of pizza. And we see that Olive Garden delivers now.
Oh,
and we don't have one near us, and I probably wouldn't have ordered. Like, the Olive, I make better Italian food than the Olive Garden. I'm just saying.
Do you make better breadsticks, though?
Well, no, but that's where I'm going with this. How do they deliver, and then you do the unlimited breadstick salad and soup? That would be an Uber nightmare.
I need more.
More, please. I'm not done. That would be a nightmare. I'm sure they have limitations. Have you ever ordered the Olive Garden? And I'm joking. Olive Garden's fine. It's a nice dining experience. Yeah.
We actually ordered once. I was at my brother's house in Appleton, and there's one right across town, and we got it to, you know, pick up, you know?
Yeah.
We ordered breadsticks, and my sister-in-law accidentally put a zero at the end of something.
What do you mean? On the charge?
So it's I think we ended up with, like, 30 breadsticks.
Ooh. Not bad.
Instead of three.
We can't have one breadstick.
So it was just
a
huge box of all breadsticks.
But they made good on that.
They did. Now, all those breadsticks were hilarious. She comes back with just a huge box.
I got to try that again. I have not eaten at the Olive Garden probably in 30 years. Maybe
you
longer.
Know, I care. I think I had it like a year ago for that one time. And since then, I haven't gone back.
I mean, it's not fast food, but it's just a franchise. You're going to go there knowing what to expect. It's probably fine, but I just remember going and having to add salt constantly. And I'm like, that's bad.
You know, like, yeah.
I made Chipotle shrimp garlic pasta over the weekend. I don't need salt. If you season it right,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be putting salt on my pasta.
No. You know, when I was younger, I don't know, I'd say around like 15 or 16.
Okay.
I thought Olive Garden was a 5-star restaurant. One time, all my friends and I were like, we're going to go to Olive Garden, and we all dressed up.
Dad is dropping some serious coin tonight. That's great. Let's get this out of the way, too. We got to put a button on the Brewers. Here's my issue. Like, I truly was rooting for the Brewers, and I like the Dodgers. I was a Dodger fan. My son, that was his first favorite team, but I was really... I really wanted to see like a huge comeback in a four, like history kind of be made. Euchre, you know, we've had Sean Hannish on the show. And here's my question. If you're the Brewers, what do you do? Like, you're the hottest team in baseball. You're the best record. And this team owns you. What do you do?
You know, not even like 24 hours after we lost, they're already shopping Freddy Peralta.
Really?
They don't want to pay him. And that's just how it is. We don't pay any of our players. So yeah. I don't expect us winning anytime soon because we never play our good players. Besides, we paid one person, Jackson Chariot. That's about it.
But like, what do you make of that, Con? You're a sports fan. This is probably something you guys will or have talked about on Make the Call. Great show. Check it out here on the weekends.
Yes.
But you owned them during the season, and then the playoffs happen. What changes do you make if you're the Brewers in the offseason? You have the best record in baseball. You got a great manager. Yelich kind of disappeared, but like, what do you do?
I mean, honestly, we have a good farm system, so
yeah.
I expect we have some prospects that are definitely going to come up next year, I feel like. Garrett Mitchell, when he comes back healthy, is going to help us tremendously, too, as well. So I just think we do kind of keep it in our system that we have, but also pay the players that we have that made us this good of a team.
Right. Yeah, that would letting Peralta go would not...
That would suck.
Yeah, you can't do that. And I don't know. I remember when they let CeCe Sabathia go in the early 2000s. He was a rental kind of, but yeah. I mean, Well, my condolences. Next year is another year.
Pack, go.
Now you got the Packers, who looked good yesterday. I mean, they didn't. It wasn't a decisive win,
Micah,
but it was.
Michael looked good yesterday.
Micah Parsons looked worth every penny.
Yeah, three sacks.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And I was talking to a friend of mine about this. Even he had like I think 2.5 sacks going into that game because I looked last week because I was curious. But how many sacks do the other guys have because of him? You know what I mean? He's like a multiplier.
Yeah.
And now he's still got probably close to the lead league in sacks, I would imagine. He's
well,
the
he's,
upper.
I mean, on the other side, we got Rashawn Gary, and Micah's looking making Rashawn
him look better.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to tell you about a movie I saw this weekend, and I really dug it. But first, let's do the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What's your favorite romantic song? Could be a love song. Could be a song that makes you amorous. Could just be a sweet song about someone that makes you think of someone you love. What's your favorite romantic song? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app, the Civic Media app, folks. Very easy to use. You can download anything. You can take your hosts with you wherever you go, your favorite shows, weekend shows like New Wisco Weekend or the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show or Make the Call. Check out the app. It's a must-have for Civic Media fans. Or if you're watching the stream, watching the radio on the stream, you can drop us a stream comment. But let us know what your favorite romantic song is. I'm going to go first, Con. And mine is Just My Imagination by The Temptations. Love Eddie Kendrick's voice on that. It was between that and Danny's song, which is Even Though We Ain't Got Money, I'm So In Love. That's a great song. There's so many to choose from. But I just went with kind of the first one that came to mind, Just My Imagination. What about you?
You know, mine comes from one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future.
What is it? Power of Love?
Earth Angel.
Oh, Earth Angel's a good one. Yeah.
It makes me jealous. Oh, wow. I wish I could have been in school during that
Growing
time.
Growing up in the 50s. Yeah,
because
no kidding.
They didn't make music like that when I went to school dances. It was all like rap and stuff and, you know.
Right.
No really slow dancing songs when I went to school.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think it's a great song too.
That's too bad. I have great memories of being at dances. And when they would slow it down and you've had these great songs come on like True by Spandau Ballet or and my favorite from that era or one of them used to be. I remember in college loving the song In the Still of the Night and wanting the same thing you just said. Like, I wish I grew up in the 50s. You know, like that's just something that music makes us think sometimes. But let us know what your favorite romantic song is, folks. And I have to say, I saw a really funny one on our social media posts, but we'll get to that in a little bit because I want to play some of that. It was very funny. And then I saw this too. This I thought was kind of interesting. We talked about Dexter with Lisa Hale Friday, and you saw this, Con. Did she touch on this issue with?
I don't know. I don't think
so. I can't remember the actress's name is Campbell, I think, but it's the guy who played Dexter, Michael C. Hall, and the girl who played his sister. Let me just look that up quick. They dated, like, on and off during the show. And they got, oh my God, I forgot about this. Okay, they got engaged, then they got married and got divorced, all while continuing to play brother and sister on TV. That is so great. I wonder if that's ever been done before.
I don't know, because they'd act like nothing happened on the set.
Yeah.
You know?
For some reason, my IMDb is... I'm having an
issue. Jennifer Carpenter.
Carpenter. That's yeah, it, Carpenter. Not Campbell. Jennifer Carpenter. I'm having an issue. My M is not working. You ever had that issue?
No.
I take that back. It works, but I have to really poke the keyboard. There's probably something got lodged in there, like a piece of food or something. So I really got a wail on the M, and it's stressing me out a little bit. I got to be honest, because it's hard to do a search. But Jennifer Carpenter, yeah, and Michael C. Hall. That's a crazy. That would take some serious acting. A little marriage quarrel on the set of Dexter. So our guest tonight, folks, great lineup tonight. At 6:35, Amy Gaither will be here. She is directing a show in St. Croix Falls. She's a New York City-based theater director and writer. And she's going to be here at 6:35 to tell us all about a show that's taking place in the western part of the state. this coming weekend. It's great. And I'm very much looking forward to meeting her. We've talked to other people from St. Croix Falls before. And then Ask Your Mother is here at 7:20. Eric and Adam are going to rock the studio, blow the roof off the joint. They're going to be here at 7:20 tonight. So you're hearing a great night. Great to have you. We will be right back, and I'm going to tell you about a movie I saw this weekend. It's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number 2 with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matt Nair.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter, had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became the brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, that also made him the brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother.
I'm my own grandpa.
Willie Nelson.
I'm my own grandpa.
That is the choice for our question of the night. The most romantic. What is your favorite, or what is the most romantic song? And that is from someone on social media named Bill, who shared that. I'm my own grandpa. That is the Willie Nelson version. It gets even weirder. Like, the lyrics are so bizarre. It's like with the Elon Musk family. I think his dad married some young girl, and then the mom, it was crazy. But this is even more convoluted. Great one, Bill, on social media. Our question of the night is, as I said, what's your favorite romantic song? Daniel Wheeler says Sailing by Christopher Cross. My wife and I both loved this song before we ever met in high school. When we discovered that, it instantly became our song. That's great, too, because even if a song isn't necessarily romantic, and that song kind of is about sailing, it just becomes special to you. That's so great. Jay on social media says the one where the husband and the wife are both trying to cheat on each other, but the marriage is saved by pina coladas. I don't know that one. Sounds very romantic, though. Thank you, Jay. Amanda Nimmer, our WGBW pal and producer and social media expert, says "Wait for You" by how do you pronounce that? Do you know her?
Is it
Atreyu?
I'm not totally sure.
I don't know who that is. Thank you, Amanda. I'll have to give that a listen. And then Mike on social media, our pal Mike Desitel, says "Can't Get Enough of Your Love" by Barry White. That's a great tune.
And Terry Barr also commented.
Did she? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, she said "Beth" by Kiss.
Beth is a great song. Yeah, not a big surprise there. Terry's a huge Kiss fan. That one was written by, I thought when I was a kid, I remember thinking or hearing that that was written by the drummer Peter Criss at the time about his wife. And it's a very un-Kiss-like at the time because they had all these pyrotechnics and crazy rock songs and God of Thunder. But that was kind of a sweet song. Great one, Terry. Thank you. Check out Bar Band Friday Nights here at Nightlight on Friday nights at 7:35 when Terry comes by with brand new music. We have Craig Benzine coming on the show Wednesday at 6:35. Last week, Terry was on and brought a song called "A Man of Action" that Craig Benzine wrote. And he is one of the creative forces behind the film No Packers, No Life, which I think you can still see in Marcus Theaters. But we'll have Craig on Wednesday night. He's going to tell us about his songwriting and filmmaking and his social media following, which is monstrous. He's a lot of fun to have on the show. So that's Wednesday night at 6:35. So thank you again, Terry Barr. I saw the movie Roofman over the weekend.
Nice.
Really good. It's about a guy who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof, a veteran, and he learned these skills overseas when he was in Afghanistan or just in the military. And he eventually gets caught and then escapes prison and lives in a Toys R Us for like 4 or 5 months, hiding. And it's just so, and it's based on a true story. It's not made up. And as I understand it, they kept pretty close to the story. But it's Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage plays the manager of the Toys R Us, and Kirsten Dunst is one of the employees. And he sneaks out sometimes during the day. It's just such a fascinating story with a really nice message. I won't give away what happens, but the way the guy summarizes everything at the end, it's great. I wouldn't say it was a masterpiece by any stretch, but I really enjoyed it. Great film to check out, Roofman.
I watched the second episode yesterday of The Chair Company.
Oh, I almost did that last night, but
keep watching. It's so funny.
Is it funnier, would you say, than the movie Friendship with Tim Robbins?
Oh, easily.
Okay.
Easily.
Because I thought the pilot was funnier than Friendship as well.
Easily. Yeah. It's like suspenseful too. Like, it's funny, but you're also like, what's going to happen next?
Right.
So I'd keep watching.
So they're dropping an episode a week, though. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it does suck.
All right.
Like Chad Powers.
You still like that? You're still watching that?
The new episode comes out tonight at 11.
That's Apple TV, right?
No, it's Hulu.
Oh, Hulu does it every...
It's a weird one. It's Monday at 11 p.m.
Netflix is like the only good app that still drops everything all at once.
Yeah, no, because like I said, Starting Five, the basketball show that I started watching, I already finished it, by the way, because every single episode drops.
But that's great if you want that option. I love that. So... all right, so we've got Amy Gay there coming up at 6:35, a New York-based theater director who is in the state producing a show in St. Croix Falls. Is it St. Croix Falls?
I believe so.
Or is it just St. Croix? I feel like I'm adding a falls. It is St. Croix Falls. Okay,
yeah.
And it's the Festival Theater. They do an amazing job at the Festival Theater. There's no doubt about that. And then Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause from Ask Your Mother will be here at 7:20. Such a fun night here at Nightlight. So glad you're with me. If you listen and let us know, folks, what is your favorite romantic song? I'm going to add a song, but I'm going to put a caveat in there. I love the song. This is my second Anne Murray song, I'm saying. I love the song "Could I Have This Dance for the Rest of My Life" is like how it continues. But Anne Murray originally sang it. But I love when like an old country dude or a folk singer covers it with like a raspy voice. It sounds so beautiful. Very romantic song. But I said Just My Imagination. Conrad said
Earth Angel.
Earth Angel. So let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We did not, unfortunately, get to Conrad's trip to Door County this weekend. Did you pick apples?
No, but all we went to one of those places that does do apple picking, and we tried a bunch of different apples. So
I might have you elaborate on that later in the show.
Okay.
So make stuff up if it's not that exciting. All right, we're coming back after the news with talk about a really cool play that if you are in the western part of the state, you got to check out. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt Nair on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Another Republican candidate has entered the field for lieutenant governor in 2026. On Monday, small business owner Will Martin officially announced his candidacy for the race, joining former mayor of Lancaster David Varnum in the Republican primary field. Martin ran for the position in 2022 but fell short in the primary. He also previously worked under former Republican governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson. On the Democratic side, only Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced her campaign for lieutenant governor. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents to be on the lookout for deer at this time of year. According to a press release, drivers are at a greater risk of crashing into a deer in October and November as hunting seasons get underway and the hours of daylight decrease. There were over 17,000 crashes involving deer in the state last year, about a third of which occurred in October and November. St. Croix County in the northwest Wisconsin region also saw the third highest total of deer-related crashes last year, with nearly 800. The Rice Lake Public Library is inviting area families to a couple of Halloween activities this weekend. The library will host a story time and pumpkin decorating event on Friday at Midwest Harvest Hills beginning at 4 p.m. On Saturday, library staff will also hand out candy to kids at the downtown trick-or-treating event from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. These trick-or-treating events are meant to give area kids a safer place to fully enjoy the holiday. More information on this week's events and other upcoming programs can be found on the Rice Lake Public Library website. The St. Croix Valley Foundation has announced the launch of a new grant program for nonprofits serving the western Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota region. The Nonprofit Capacity Building Grant Program will distribute $3.5 million of funding to help area nonprofits become more efficient and sustainable. Officials say nonprofits in the area are under heavy strain, facing persistent staffing shortages with limited budgets and turnover in leadership positions. More information on eligibility for the grant funding is available on the St. Croix Valley Foundation website. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently at 62 degrees.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sic the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
That is it. Love that song. I think that's Eddie Kendricks. Such a great tune. That is my favorite romantic song, at least for tonight. Let us know yours. That's our question of the night at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is a funny text we got from Lori in the 715. This is in regard to my M not working on my keyboard. So Conrad gets all these crazy messages. Lori says, hey, Pete, it's probably some of that gelato that's gotten down there sticking to your M letter with a bunch of crazy emojis. You're probably right, Lori. I should probably have this looked at. Before we bring on our guest, did you say we have a phone call?
Yeah, Ollie from the North Woods.
Oh, all right. Put her through. Ollie, how are you tonight?
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great.
One song that I like is Islands in the Stream by Dolly and Kenny Rogers.
Okay, Ollie, I don't usually name drop my own stuff here on Nightlight, but you have to check out the movie A Guy Thing from MGM. I co-wrote it, and I was not responsible for that, but that is the couple's song, and you hear that song a lot during that movie, and it's kind of funny. You might check it out and enjoy it.
Well, I'll do that then.
All right. And I'll get a 2 cent residual check. That'd be outstanding.
All righty.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great night, Ollie. Oh, she's so fun. I love our phone calls from Ollie. All right, it is time for our first guest on Monday, which is brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris will actually be coming by here on Thursday night, so tune in for that as well. We love Chris. He's a great guy, and he will be here in person, but check out Chicken or the Egg Photography. And with that in mind, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time a New York-based director who finds herself in Wisconsin at the St. Croix Falls Festival Theater, a great little spot, Miss Amy Gaither. I hope I'm saying that right. Amy, welcome to Nightlight.
Hello. Hi, Pete. Yes, you are saying it right.
It's Gaither.
Gaither.
Perfect. All right. I thought so, but I usually, when something's on the bubble, I usually email and just get the phonetics. And for some reason, I didn't do this. So I rolled the dice and I got it right. So it's great to see you. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Are you in St. Croix Falls right now? I would imagine you are.
I am not.
Oh.
We got the show open last weekend and I'm back in New York.
Oh, look at that. Okay. Well, good for you. How are you tonight? And tell us a little bit, if you would, please give us a little bit of your background before we get into this, what sounds like a really terrific play.
It is a wonderful play. I have been acting since I was a child and I live in New York. And so now I act and direct full time. I taught university for a long time. I'm from the Midwest, grew up in Indiana, and I taught at DePaul University for a long time. And now I work full time as a theater artist.
That's pretty cool. You and I almost have something in common. You said you taught at DePaul. I went to DePaul in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago. So yeah.
Actually, no connection whatsoever, but it sounds like there should be.
I know everyone gets them confused. But. DePaul with a W.
Yeah. Before we get too much into the show here that we'll talk about at the Festival Theater, do you have a favorite romantic song, Amy?
Oh, man.
You can think about it if you want.
Moon River.
Oh, great one. Andy Williams. The Andy Williams version?
I just like to sing it.
Oh, okay. You're welcome to belt out a few lines if you like. We have singers on the show all the time. But no pressure.
I love it. I love it.
It's a great song.
One of the most beautiful melodies.
Absolutely. And it's funny. It's one of those songs that now that it was part of a comedy, like in Fletch, that's where my head goes when I hear this amazing song. And it's
I know that scene.
It's like, why didn't they use a crummy song?
I know.
It's kind of ruined.
Don't ruin that for us.
Exactly. It says in your bio that you grew up in a legendary family of Grammy winners. That piqued my interest. Tell us about that.
My parents are singer-songwriters in gospel music. So they've been around for a long, long time. They're still writing. They're still in the studio. My dad still travels and sings. Wow. But the Gaithers are been around for a long time. And so that's my family.
Very cool. Well, let's jump in here. How did you end up, you have Midwest ties, but how did you find yourself directing this, what sounds like this really cool play at the Festival Theater? Tell us about the play.
Well, I came to Festival Theater, I think it's been about 5 years ago now for the first time. One of my good friends from grad school, who was in the same MFA program as I, was the artistic director there and asked me to come out and direct The Mousetrap. And then I came back and directed a Sherlock Holmes Games Afoot, Holmes for the Holidays. And then they asked me to come back and direct I and You, which is the play currently running by Lauren Gunderson. So this is my third time out there. And it is a gorgeous play. She's one of my favorite playwrights.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the plot, because it's about teenagers, really, and a Walt Whitman poem, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It is about teenagers, but it's such a wide crowd pleaser. It's such a beautiful play for everyone, and especially right now, because it's a play about how we need each other. And in a time when there's so much division, it's really a story about people coming together. So it's a 17-year-old white girl and a 17-year-old black boy, and they come together. She's home was born with a liver condition and is awaiting a transplant and is not able to go to school. So he brings over an English project to work on with her. And it's a project on Walt Whitman's Song of Myself, on the pronouns in Song of Myself, you and I and we. And Gunderson is amazing at weaving through the poetry into the story, but it's funny. These kids are really special and smart and funny and quirky, and their friendship that develops over the course of the evening is really quite beautiful. And it's kind of a surprise ending, so I don't want to say too much more, but we are 5 for 5 now for standing ovations at the end of the show. It's really, really a beautiful show. Gunderson is the most widely produced playwright in America and has been since 2019. She's incredibly proficient and...
That's impressive.
She's an amazing writer.
Yeah, I feel like everything starts with the script. I mean, even whether it's theater, movies, whatever, at least when the script is written, at least you have a story. Yeah. You know, directors, producers, actors need that material. So what is it, you as a director, what was it that first caught your eye with this particular piece of material?
Well, I produced one of Lauren's plays in New York 2 years ago called Amy Lee. The subtitle is La Marquise de Châtelet Defends Her Life Tonight. And it's about the first female physicist. And she writes a lot of plays about women in history whose stories have not been told because they're women. Nice. But She was an 18th century French marquise who was the first female physicist. And so I've had my eye on her scripts for a long time. And when Isaac Bont at Festival Theater sent me the script and asked me if I was interested, before I even read it, I was like, well, I'm going to be interested because it's Lauren Gunderson. But it's really an incredible story. Just, I would love to talk to her and find out how she came up with this story.
My guest is Amy Gaither. She is a New York-based theater director and a writer, and she is directing or has directed a show that is currently, you can check it out this weekend at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Do you know how we can direct people to get tickets, Amy, if there are some
left?
Yes,
absolutely. They can call the box office at Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls, or they can go to the website and get tickets on the website.
Excellent.
And it's, what is the website?
We can, Conrad, it's like, you mind Googling that? We can get that for people. So I can have your undivided attention, Amy. So I want to ask you, what is, for people that haven't been to Festival Theater, what can they expect? What kind of space is it? And how many people does it hold? Talk a little bit, if you can, about the history of the theater.
Well, this is their second season back in the Civic Auditorium, which is, it's a historic vaudeville house, actually. It was built in the early 1900s, and it never opened as a vaudeville house, but it was built for vaudeville because the first pandemic hit. From what I understand, wow, the Spanish flu came in and they never opened it. But it was used as a music hall and as a library. It's been several things in the community for a long time. And then it's been closed I think I understood like something like 9 years while they refurbished it, and they've done this beautiful restoration job. So the show is in the historic auditorium, and the historic auditorium is worth a visit all by itself, but there's a cafe in there, seats about, I think, 250, and beautiful space.
So where does this show rank? You've got such a great resume. Where does this show rank in terms of favorite plays you've directed? Obviously you love the writer. That's got to help. But where do you put this on your catalog, so to speak?
Quite high, actually, because the play is so great, but also because the whole design team and the two actors have been a dream to work with. Just lovely people and beautiful artists, incredibly talented. But James Randolph and Lindsay Fry are the actors playing the two kids, and they're stunning. I mean, I don't know what other word to say, but they're stunning. And the whole experience, and I love being in St. Croix Falls. It's a beautiful time. I spend about a month there when I go to direct a play. But the whole experience was just kind of idyllic from beginning to end. Just no problems or hiccups or anything.
How do you find, where did you find your two leads? Are they local? Do they come in from other communities like you did? Or how does that work with casting?
Well, they cast at Festival Theater. They cast mostly through UPTAs and other regional auditions. They go to auditions for, you know, the Midwest and the area to bring in people. So James is from Chicago, and this is his second show with Festival Theater this season, and then he's staying to do their Christmas show, which is Frosty, coming up next. And then Lindsay was an intern there a few years ago when she was in college, and when she came out of college, she applied for a position at Festival Theater, and they hired her. So she's now there full-time on staff, but she's also an incredible actor.
Oh, that's fantastic. My guest is Amy Gaither. She is directing the show I and You, a great play for the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. If you want tickets and if you want to attend this this really, really fantastic play, check out or go to www.festivaltheater.org for tickets. We'll have a couple more minutes with our guest, with Amy, when we come back. And I might ask you about Mousetrap, Amy, if I can do that.
Okay.
And Interlochen, too.
All right.
That's a cool place.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night, what is your favorite romantic song? We'll get to your text in just a little while, too. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After serving less than 4 months of a 7-year sentence, disgraced New York Congressman George Santos had his sentence commuted by President Donald Trump on October 17th. Santos had pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft in August 2024. Shortly after the newly elected congressman took office, inconsistencies surfaced about Santos's resume and financial dealings. The FBI, IRS, and the U.S. Attorney's Office investigated, and in May 2023, leveled 13 charges of wire fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and lying on U.S. House financial forms. More charges of identity theft and credit card fraud followed in October 2023. After a plea deal, Santos pleaded guilty on reduced charges, was forced to pay restitution, and began serving an 87-month sentence in July 2025. U.S. Attorney John Durham said at the time, "Today, George Santos was finally held accountable for the mountain of lies, theft, and fraud he perpetrated." October 13th, Santos published an open letter to Trump in the South Shore Press, saying, quote, "I am asking for fairness, for the chance to rebuild." In commuting his sentence on Friday, Trump wrote, "George Santos was somewhat of a rogue, but there are many rogues throughout our country that aren't forced to serve 7 years in prison." We've linked the Santos letter at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's another great one. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. That is Conrad's favorite romantic song. He's literally slow dancing with himself right now, folks. If you could see him through the glass, it's a bit of a spectacle. But yeah, that's a great tune. We have a few more minutes with our current guest, Amy Gaither. She is directing the play I and You at Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls in the western part of the state here. Check it out. Festivaltheater.org is where you can find tickets to this, what sounds like a really cool production. Amy, you said that you're a big fan of Agatha Christie when I checked out your website earlier. And you said after the Bible and Shakespeare, she's the most read author or something to that effect. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yes. I learned that when I was directing Mousetrap. I kind of did a deep dive on her and ended up listening to a podcast all about Agatha Christie. And I've always read her books, but I read a lot more. And I was in The Mousetrap when I was in high school, so it was nice. It was kind of fun to come back to that play. But yeah, she's the third most published, and I think I just heard this in a trivia game yesterday. She is the author that's been translated into the most languages.
No
in the
kidding!
World.
Wow, mm-hmm. Boy, that's impressive. The Mousetrap, I saw. I assume it's the same one, the Christopher Reeve, Michael Caine film, based on the play.
Oh no, that's Death Trap.
Oh, yeah, Mousetrap. What am I thinking of?
Mousetrap is the longest running show on stage in London, and I think in the world. It's been running since the 50s. It's still running.
That movie was called Death Trap?
Yeah, that's called Death Trap. Michael Caine, and I don't think it's Agatha Christie. I don't think that's an Agatha Christie.
1982.
But they can't make a movie of Mousetrap because it's in her will that they can't make a movie of it until it has been off stage for something like 25 years. And it's still running.
Which might never happen. Yeah.
I know, right.
So what do you, you're an actress, you direct, I know you've been on TV. What is your favorite way to act? Do you like TV, or is theater too close to your heart, or is it just acting is acting and you'd love any gig if you like the material?
Yeah, that's the case. I mean, I love any good material, and it's all a little bit different, but it's still the same craft, you know? So, I've loved doing television and film, but if I could do nothing but Shakespeare for the rest of my life, I'd be fine with that.
No kidding. Wow. That's great. Yeah. And acting versus directing, do you have a preference there?
I really don't. I really love both of them. And I get like sort of homesick for the other when I'm not, like, I haven't acted much this year. And so I'm really itching to get back on stage. But when I go without directing for a while, I want to be directing. So I like a balance.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice to have that opportunity where you can do both.
Yeah.
I saw that you studied also on your resume in Interlaken. That is such a beautiful space. I really wanted to study there, but I can't sing. So that was an issue. No, but it's a beautiful, like, I remember on a family camping trip, we walked around there for hours. It's just gorgeous. What was that like studying there?
It's amazing. It's really a magical place. My son has also gone there. I think he spent 2 summers there, and then he worked there a couple summers ago after when he was in college. But it's amazing because you walk through the woods and you're hearing violins and pianos and voices, and then you walk by the dance studio and they're rehearsing a ballet, and then I was in the theater program, so I was doing musicals and they're doing Shakespeare, and it's just, and now they have a creative writing. So they've got a writing house, which is what my son did, which was very, very cool.
Yeah.
It's a magical, magical place to spend your summer.
Is there anything you haven't done from a theater standpoint, whether it be acting or directing? Like, what is the one show you would love to do before you hang it up or stop? It doesn't sound like you'll ever stop in theater, but what is the one show you'd love to do?
I'd really like to do Antony and Cleopatra.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'd like to play Cleopatra. There are several Shakespeare plays that I'd like to do. Some Queens I haven't played yet. A lot of Queens that I'd like to play that are on my list.
Before we let you go, I ask a lot of guests this, because we talk about TV and movies a lot on the show. What is a show, if there is one, that you're binge watching that you could recommend?
The Diplomat.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm watching Slow Horses. I watch a lot of British television. So most of my favorite shows come from the BBC.
Yeah.
All the detective shows, the British detective shows, I love.
It's crazy. You could lose
yourself. Call the Midwife.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I just got caught up on Slow Horses this weekend, and I think this is my favorite season so far. It's just
really?
So... I think so. I mean, last season was pretty cool, but I love that they were sort of quarantined into their office. And
yeah.
I don't know. I love the show. I love Gary Oldman. Have you seen a show called Line of Duty from the BBC?
No, I've seen it come up on my Acorn, but I haven't watched it yet.
I stumbled onto that about 4 months ago, and I haven't seen season six yet. But it's really might be my favorite British detective show. So I'd love to know your thoughts after you get a chance to take a look at it.
Okay.
All right.
I'll look at it.
All right. Very cool. Hey, this is great. Break a leg, even though you're not still there.
Thank you.
Sure the show is great. Hopefully we can help you put a few butts in the seats. But it's been fun talking to you and getting to know you, Amy. Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pete. It's good to talk to you.
Very welcome. Amy Gaither, check out I and You at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls, a beautiful area of our state. And get some tickets. Go on out to see some live theater, as Homer Simpson would say. Conrad, you could play a good Anthony to Cleopatra.
Just
think about it.
I've never seen it, or so I don't.
No, it's just a hunch, but do some research.
Okay.
You got the news, Bray. You got 5 minutes here as we do the news. We are coming back for Act Two, folks. Enjoy your intermission. When we come back, it's 7:20. Ask your mother. Eric and Adam are here, and we're coming back for Act Two. After this, it's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. A federal appeals court has ruled the Trump administration can go ahead with deploying National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. Heather Roberts has reaction.
Following the Ninth Circuit's ruling, the president acted within his power by federalizing the National Guard. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield issued a statement saying if the ruling is allowed to stand, it would give the president unilateral power to put soldiers on our streets with almost no justification. In her dissent, Judge Susan Graber said there is no legal or factual justification to support the federalization, noting Portlanders' penchant for protesting in chicken or inflatable frog costumes or nothing at all.
After violence in Gaza over the weekend, the president dispatched his envoys to Israel to meet with the prime minister. Trump lashed out at Hamas, saying they could be eradicated. Frank Gardner reports from Jerusalem.
Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner really want to talk about phase two. How is Gaza